Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today our readings, both the first reading and the selection from the Gospel, are continuations of what we heard yesterday in the first reading, the Act of the Apostles. It continues the account of what happened when Peter and John visited the temple and cured this crippled man. And then in the Gospel, the two disciples who yesterday we heard of their encounter with Christ on the road to Emmaus, they've returned to Jerusalem and are among the disciples gathered there, the apostles, and Jesus then appears. In the first reading, St. Peter takes this opportunity. He has the attention of all the people in the temple who are astounded at this miracle of the cure of this cripple. And he takes that opportunity to educate them, to correct them in their understanding or in their misunderstanding of who Jesus is and how Jesus fulfilled what they believe. They don't believe yet in Jesus, but they believe in Moses. They are people of faith and the people of the covenant. St. Peter tells them that you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors. And so he just goes on then in his discourse to explain to him that Jesus was the one who had been promised and who did fulfill the prophecies, and that it's only by his power, or actually he says the power of God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And it's through his power that this cripple has been cured. And then to drive it home, he says, and you've killed this man, the one who had been sent. But then he also says that our Lord, anyway, says that it was foretold that he should suffer. So, you know, there's some comfort in that. In fact, yes, St. Peter says it here. I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did, but God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. And then he gives the true gospel message: repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed for you, Jesus. In the gospel, we have this interesting continuation of the portrait of the apostles and their state of mind and spirit in the day immediately, in the days immediately following our Lord's passion and death, and they still are incredulous. And the funny thing is that they're sitting here talking about, we've just seen Jesus. Oh yeah, we've seen him too on the road to Emmaus, and then he came and broke bread. And in the midst of all this, Jesus appears, and they're startled, and they said, what is this, a ghost? As if everything they were talking about still hasn't sunk in. And of course, they don't expect that, they haven't realized the truth about Jesus and his glorified body. The doors are locked, they're shut. And so it is somewhat startling, even if it's Jesus that appears, that a person who wasn't admitted by opening the door is suddenly in their midst. But our Lord helps them to understand. And when they do begin to, they haven't yet arrived at understanding or even believing that this is really Jesus, but they do have the first sign, this joy in their hearts. They're overjoyed. It says, while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? And this was to take their minds off of the extraordinary circumstances and to help them see that he really is there present. And he just asked for something to eat. And he eats in front of them, which helps them to realize that this is really Jesus. This is really Jesus with a body, not a phantasm. And then he proceeds to open their minds to the scriptures and to the truth that he has now fulfilled what had been foretold, and that his suffering has become now their salvation and resurrection. And again, this message of the gospel preaching of repentance. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So they've seen Jesus risen, and they are called now to give this witness to all the nations and to call all peoples to faith in Jesus Christ. The lack of faith initially that we hear of here in the apostles continues to this day. They at that moment still did not believe that Jesus could have risen. And so even though he's standing there in front of them, they see him with their eyes, they still haven't yet, because of this impediment in their heart, this lack of faith, they still haven't believed that Jesus really has risen or could rise. So they still are having difficulty recognizing him. And this difficulty, we can see, continues still today. There are some who insist that they do not believe because there's no proof. And they insist on having some sort of empirical evidence, some kind of positive physical proof of what we Christians believe on faith. And as Father Elias talked about at Easter, even when they're given signs, irrefutable signs of miracles, they still don't arrive at faith because they're looking not for reasons to believe, but for reasons not to believe. Father Elias spoke of the Shroud of Turin, which in recent times, in the mid-70s, it was in the 70s that the shroud, portions of the shroud and the shroud itself, was offered and given to a team of scientists selected from around the world. Some were from NASA, some from other institutions and academies. They were given the shroud, and what they concluded is that the shroud image that is on that cloth, there is no explanation known to science that could explain how that image appears on that cloth. And so even sometimes physical evidence and the obvious facts that present themselves to our senses as well as to our intelligence, that can be obscured by a mental attitude or a spiritual attitude of doubt, of incredulity. So, and we see it in the gospel today and still in our day. But Jesus, to those who do love him or whose hearts are open to him, does make himself known. And we all, in some way, perhaps that we can't even perhaps describe, we do have this knowledge of Jesus Christ in our midst. And we pray that our faith may motivate us, as our Lord tells us, you are witnesses, and we are called to go out and give our witness to those in the world who yet don't know Jesus. May the Holy Spirit inspire us. We're now in Easter time, which leads up to Pentecost and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And so in this time of our joy, in the celebration of the resurrection, let us also look forward to the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that that the resurrection may be passed on through us to all those who have yet to embrace the message of salvation. And may Our Lady, Queen of Apostles, guide all of the leaders of the church and all the faithful in this mission. Praise be Jesus and Mary.